Welcome to the show. We're diving into the world of local talent, artists, wrestlers, and businesses. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Chew and You Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chew and You Podcast. Unfortunately, today, well, lucky for you today, I don't have the ugly galoot here. As you can see, he's not even in his seat. I don't even know. I hope I pushed the right button here. There you go. Actually, we got John Cena on the podcast. It's the only thing you can't see him. We're here today on the podcast, man. I do have a co-host coming in, but he is running a little late. He's probably somewhere eating peanuts somewhere or looking for the little man parking space. But that's a whole different story. Today's episode, guys, it's going to be a great one. First of all, I want to say thank you to everybody tuning in last week. I hope your Thanksgiving was great. I hope all of you had time to spend with your family. And those who got really, really, really drunk that day, I hope you repaired everything of all the arguments you had after the day Thanksgiving, because that's normally how it goes. But anyways, on today's podcast, we have a very special guest all the way from San Antonio, Texas. They drove down here to the Valley, and they're like, what are we driving to? No, I'm just joking. They've been down here a couple of times, and I'm just happy they came down. To have these two people on the podcast is a treat. It just goes to show you that our pod reaches out in other parts of Texas, and they're intrigued to come and have some fun with us. But enough of me chit-chatting and sounding boring on the mic. First of all, I want to say thank you to you guys for showing up and being here. A big shout-out to my guests here, Mr. Rudy Gonzalez and Micah Madrid in the podcast, man. All right. Woo. You see how what we were talking about earlier about running a podcast and trying to do it by yourself? Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But guys, oh, shoot, put it on that one. There's the one we're going. We don't need to see John Cena. Thank you for coming to the podcast, man. Welcome to Westaco, Texas. I know you guys are usually coming down here doing shows sometimes. But, I mean, for you guys to come on down. Oh, here you go. Here you go. I got the first comment for you, and it's going to be all night. I'm sorry, Micah. This is one of the first right here. You see, you should have worn the Nikki merch, bro. Oh, really? Really? You see?
You already have my Micah and my Lasso
Santos. Yeah, sorry, buddy. I'm sorry. As you can see, Rudy's already covering the Nikki Fuego thing because Nikki's not part of this podcast. Yeah. Making sure that's covered up. But anyway, and I got more people coming tuning in, and I'm glad everybody's tuning into this, so thank you so much. First off, I want to say thank you for coming out. Sorry for the long drive. Secondly, but other than that, guys, tell us a little bit about yourself. Let's start with Rudy. You guys decide, flip a coin, draw stars, whatever you like. I mean, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how we got into the wrestling business, man.
So first of all, whether you know it or not, this is like a history-making podcast. Right. Usually when we do our podcast, I'll do mine by myself and what have you. She does hers by herself.
There you go.
What have you. Just a few weeks ago, I helped another guy with his podcast. She was a guest.
Oh, there you go. But there you go.
She did, and I did it on purpose. She did her stuff from another room.
Uh-huh.
And I was in my room. This is the first time ever.
Wrong.
Ever that we're doing
it
this.
It was a VI satellite interview. That's what it was.
This is the first time ever we've done this together.
Awesome. That's so great.
This is history making, right?
There you go. There you go. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Rudy. Where you grew up and where you're from and all that good stuff.
I started wrestling in 1982 with the Blanchard, the Southwest Championship Wrestling.
Oh my God.
Out of San Antonio. We would come down to the Valley, to Westaco, to the Villarreal.
Yeah, well, that's gone, but yeah.
We go to the Casa de Amistad in Harlingen.
Uh-huh.
High school gyms in Westaco. We go to Mercedes. We go to all the little towns here, you know, every few weeks on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did our stuff out of San Antonio and what have you. And when Joe Blanchard shut down the Southwest Wrestling Promotion and WWF took over,
yes.
Then I started doing some stuff with them a little bit here and there.
I saw the pictures, man.
Yeah.
I was like, who do I have my podcast coming up this week? Oh, my goodness.
A lot of fun, man. I got to wrestle with guys like Razor Ramon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yokozuna. And my daughter was – I haven't I've forgotten about a lot of those guys. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter pulled up on YouTube. Dad, you know who the Mountie is? You know who? And I'm like, yeah, I do. I went to Mexico for a little bit here and there, mm-hmm. and then I got brought back by Joe Blanchard to work with WCW.
Okay.
And we did an event in Phoenix where it was me and another guy from Mexico against Eddie Guerrero and another guy from Mexico.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Yeah, that is awesome.
And this was in his early days. This was like when he was first started.
Right, right.
And so, I mean, what we saw on TV, you know, a few years ago, what have you, before he passed away, mm-hmm. is nothing, you know. I mean, that was over the top compared to when we started. And then in 2000 and, well, actually 1999, I was getting ready to leave wrestling. I'd already been in for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shawn Michaels calls me and says, hey, do you mind helping me run wrestling school?
Dude.
And
the Heartbreak Kid is HBK.
So, yeah. So it's me, Jose Lothario, and who I would watch when I was growing up, and another guy named Ken Johnson, a friend of mine. And we ran Shawn's school. And then, like, and it's just wrestling, man. It's nothing against anybody. But within a month, Jose left, and then Ken Johnson, they had a fallout, mm-hmm. whatever, and so one day Shawn said, you know, you want to go with him?
No.
And I'm like,
oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but somebody has to come interrupt. Oh my God. Oh my God. She can come on in if she likes. There's a seat right there for her. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, this podcast, we got Cacahuate in the house. Cacahuate's in here, and his beautiful wife are in the house to visit. Have a seat right there. It goes, buddy, I didn't get you anything to drink. You want a water, buddy? You want a water? Here you go. You can have a water.
Absolutely.
That's all you're drinking. Yeah, that's good. Actually, look, if you see yourself on the screen, buddy, look at the wrong wall. That's beautiful. Well,
absolutely. Yeah, but
the camera does wonders, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry to tell you.
It could be all the time. Whenever I'm this cold, he actually puts the seat all the way down so everybody can see.
I run out of booster sheets.
The other day, he asked me to bring an old San Antonio phone book.
That's what he uses to drive. go on, Rudy.
So I ran at Shaw School for 2 years, and I trained guys like Daniel Bryan and Brian Kendrick, Paul London, and I tell everybody the same thing. I was blessed, and I came up wrestling is the right place, right time. And I was at the right place at the right time. And so I came across all these kids, and they were all good boys. And then when Shawn resigned his contract with WWE
mm-hmm.
in 2001, he just pulled his aside and said, I'm going back to work for Vince. I said, okay.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm out of a job.
Right.
You know, what am I going to do?
The Generation X era, the Raw era.
I was going to be D-Generation unemployed.
Oh, my God.
And then he said, unless you want it. And I'm like, he's just rude. So I asked him, I said, what do I got to pay you? He said, don't pay me anything. It's yours. And he gave me the keys. And that was it. And so from that was April of 2001. And I've been running school ever since.
That's
and,
awesome, man.
I've had some good kids come through there, you know, and for the longest time, because like right off the bat, Brian Kendrick, Brian Danielson, a young man named Lance Cade, and a kid named Chris Schultz got signed to WWE right away.
Mm-hmm.
And the talk was they got signed because of Shawn.
Right, right.
And they probably did. I don't know. But mm-hmm. I do know that Brian Kendrick and Brian Danielson are still in the wrestling business.
Yes.
So, and then Paul London came through my school, and then Paul got signed to WWE. So but that had nothing to do with Shawn. And then I had a young man named Masada who came through my school, and he's a big wrestling star in Japan. And
wow.
Did the hardcore stuff.
Right.
And then I had Hernandez come through, and they had nothing to do with Shawn. So I started thinking maybe I'm pretty good at this stuff.
Right.
And then as the years have gone by, I've come across some, you know, I've trained some other kids and stuff, and And, you know, they've done very, very well, and they're productive in the wrestling business. And I come across, it's gotten to where I come across kids I have no connection to, like Nikki Fuego.
Right.
I have no connection to her at all. And I see her, she, you know, she wasn't putting together WrestleMania-type matches, but she was putting together solid matches.
Right.
For her experience.
Right.
And
right.
So just decided, hey, won't you do this, won't you do that? And the next thing you know, she messaged me, and then, you know, and I had a talk a while back with a young lady named Mercedes Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about training and stuff. She's in AEW, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about training, and she said, Rudy, females are different. You can't train females the way you train the males.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, anytime any females, you know, any girls want to get into wrestling, I send them to Michael.
There you go.
I just posted just today. We have four or five girls in our group right now.
I saw that. I saw the post.
And she, I don't mess with them. I'll just tell them maybe, you know, if they miss something, hey, watch your footwork or hit the ropes harder or just little things. But Michael runs them.
Right.
And she's doing a good job. We just signed a 16-year-old girl just yesterday.
Yeah.
And she was giving me the rundown on she wants to be the youngest NXT star or whatever. And I'm like, who's the youngest for now? And she's like, Roxanne Perez. And I'm like,
Roxanne Perez.
That's
good. That's good.
And you can tell when somebody is really passionate.
Mm-hmm.
By their actions, you can say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Last night, first day, we're doing rolls. And she couldn't do it. She starts crying. Not because she's embarrassed, but because she knows she can do it.
Right.
She's not getting it.
Right, right.
Frustration, right.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, we're a wrestler. What are you crying for? And so she said, well, I know I can do that. I know I can do that. So Micah pulled her aside and talked to her. And by the end of the night,
all over the place. Goes, that's awesome, man.
So, I mean, you know, and I'm saying this in front of her. I mean, she's doing a pretty good job with the girls. We did a wrestling con in North Carolina called WrestleCade.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest wrestling convention in the country.
Right, right, right.
And I was talking to one of the girls there, and she was like, I can do it so good. She's doing, and just like blowing her head up. Like I'm sitting there, and her head was like, and I'm like,
cut it.
Cut it. Cut it. Cut it. Cut it. It's great. Shoot, shoot, shoot. It's great. So, and that's just the direction that wrestling is going to now. It's, you know, more females are getting into it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, with guys, it's with me, it's like, you know, get up. But you can't talk that way to the girls. You got to, you know, because it's with the females.
Right, right.
And there's a way to go about stuff like that. So, she's like, you know, come on, get out of the ring, let's go talk, whatever. Like I said, the girl, her name is Savannah. And she started doing her thing. And mm-hmm. I'm like, wow. You know,
wow.
So I'm giving props right here for everybody.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I mean, really doing a good job. Nikki Fuego, she doesn't even call me anymore. She doesn't.
Oh. Before, like, you don't bring me flowers anymore.
Nikki, give Rudy a call.
Call him. Text Mike and stuff. You know, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? So, and that's fine. That's what she's there for.
Right,
so,
right, right.
You know, and again, that's the direction that pro wrestling is going into now. There's the guys and there's the girls.
Right, right, right.
You know, and so I've been running a school since, I said, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And it's progressed. It's like little cycles. There's a down and then it comes back up down. And right now we're going in an upswing. You know, we've got more females in the group than we've had in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some good male wrestlers, some good guys. I get messages every now and then from some of the guys down here, like we're talking about Chris Austin.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. I think the world of him, man. He's a good kid. Kiki Caballero.
Which, as a matter of fact, those two guys are actually going tomorrow to Odessa.
Yep.
They can thank me for that.
Yeah. No. And I will admit something, Rudy. I did talk to actually Kike on Tuesday at the training facility for New Breed. Right. And I actually told him about that. You know, hey, I saw where you're going. You're going to Odessa with 3Bat Productions and Lucha Libre. And, of course, he did mention you. He mentioned you. And I go, hey, let's say anybody, those guys can get you where you're at. Like, and one thing that I would tell you, thank you so much for doing that. You know, you are a blessing in this industry. I mean,
that's my, you know, I did my wrestling stuff. I'm doing my coaching stuff, and I promote, and I see guys. It would be an injustice to see somebody with so much talent and just
I hear you.
Because they're not my student,
right?
They have the potential. They have the talent. They have the heart. They have more of the heart in there, and it is a great step, you know, where they're taking, where they're actually going to be at, and who they're going to be wrestling for.
Exactly.
And it's like I told Kike, I go, you have to understand that there's going to be, you know, administration there from AAA. You know, they're going to be eyeing you, and they're going to tell you straight out if you know everything.
Who's the kid, Blackheart?
Oh, James Blackheart.
James Blackheart. He's another one that from down here. That's, you know, I mean, I've had some guys. Vicky Bento.
Vicky Bento.
She's from La Feria.
Okay.
She came up to San Antonio. I trained her for a while. She was doing really good. The only thing is, she got married.
Marriage does to you, man.
I'd watch your back right now, buddy.
I know. I cannot say anything because all of a sudden somebody will actually hit me with a chair.
Yes. And you have my full permission.
One day, Ricky Gonzalez walked into my place. He said, hey, man, my daughter wants to get into wrestling. And I said, all right. He goes, how much do I owe you? I said, nothing, man. Nothing. Just, you know, where's she at? So it was me, and then Ricky, and then this girl. And the last time I saw his daughter, Victoria, she was 10 years old or whatever.
And now?
And I said, I'm just bringing her by whenever she wants to start. Right. And she says, now? And I'm like,
uh-oh. She's not like, huh?
What do you feed her?
I was like, Ricky? And she says, yeah, she gave me a hug and whatever, and I'm like, holy shit. So my dad did say, you know, I'm giving her 3 years, you know, and she has 3 years to get her stuff together, and if she doesn't have in 3 years, then, you know, she's got to just be in the real world.
Right.
It's okay. And, bam, she hit the floor running, man.
That's awesome.
And I think it was like 2 years that she got signed to WWE, you know.
That's awesome.
So the Valley produces some good people, man.
Right, absolutely.
I ran into Tito Santana last Saturday. He's from Michigan.
Merced Salinas.
Yep. Oh, there you go.
And, I mean, the Valley produces good people, Merced. Man. They just need to get out of here, you know. And I'm not knocking the Valley or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like coming down here. That's why I came down so much. I like down here. But what a lot of kids understand is this isn't the wrestling world. There's another – whole different
deal. Yeah, exactly.
Outside of Texas,
right?
And so, yeah. I mean, if I sincerely believe, I messaged Chris and Kika the other day. You know, there's going to be, you know, Pagano. There's going to be the clown guy.
Pagano.
Psycho clown.
I mean, there's going to be all the heavy hitters and stuff. You know, I'll use Micah as an example. So Micah did one of those conventions in Florida. Her and Vicky Bento did a convention in Florida a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In the front row was Jeannie Buss.
Okay.
And she watched the match. And so a year and a half later, a year later, Jeannie Buss buys into WOW, Women of Wrestling.
Right.
So they need some girls or whatever, so some of the girls are talking. Micah gets around, you know, other places out of Texas. And some girls are talking, we need more girls, we need different girls. And so someone said, I know a girl out of San Antonio named Micah. And someone said, oh, yeah, Micah Madrid. Oh, Mike, I know Micah. She doesn't, I remember that. Can someone call her?
Everybody like, okay, all right. Can somebody just call her already?
And so one day I was sitting there walking teeth on a Sunday, and her phone goes off, and she's like, hello? Yes, this is Micah. Who's this? David? And I'm like, David.
Uh-oh.
Okay, let me take this call somewhere else.
Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute.
You guys have to go to the bedroom, it's just a door. And I'm like, I'm going to get the door.
With a glass.
With a little thing there.
Stethoscope.
And then she comes out after an hour, and I'm like, who is that? And she said, have you ever heard David? David McLean? I'm like, yeah, I know that name. And she said, he asked me if I could wrestle for his company called WOW.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well,
wow.
What did you say?
Wow.
Yes. I said, yes, he's going to send me a contract. And so as time went by, I started asking questions and stuff. And somebody said, you know, they needed girls. And somebody said, well, they're just called Micah. And someone said, I know her. Mm-hmm. So what I'm getting at with Chris and Kika is, they may wrestle tomorrow in Odessa. No one may sell anything. The people are watching.
Right.
And when they need.
Exactly.
If there's a need for.
Fresh, guys, new blood. Yeah, new blood.
Hey, those are those two guys that Rudy brought in. Yep. You know, over their names. Called Rudy, and I have no problem dropping the name and getting kids like that. You know?
Right, right.
So, I mean, you never know. I mean, and Armando said that there's going to be office guys there. Yep. I mean, it's a big deal. Triple E.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, Rudy, that's actually a tour that Three Bad Production, Three Bad Lucha, along with Lucha Libre Triple A Worldwide, are having throughout the Texas called Texas Mania.
Yep.
And
yep.
As a matter of fact, on Saturday, they also have another event in Brownsville.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually tomorrow. They're going to be in Odessa. Saturday, they're going to be in Brownsville. And, of course, on Sunday, they're going to be in Houston. Well, on Saturday, we have four guys from New Breed Wrestling going there.
Who's going?
As a matter of fact, I have Christopher Delta going. I have Rebel Jones.
Right.
I have Toxico, and I have Rattlesnake Jake Bishop from the Killjoys.
Yeah.
They're going over there. They're tag teaming against each other and all that. So they're excited. At the same time, they're nervous because of the same reason. Because
there's always people
who's
watching.
Who's going to be watching? And the only thing I always and basically. Like you did with them, I recruited them with Three Bat and with Lucha Libre Triple A. And I'm pretty sure you might think the same way I did, but some people tell me, well, why not other people? Because if I'm going to recruit people with them, it's because of the talent they have, what I see, the heart, everything they got. I've seen other people in the ring that I'm like, no.
Right.
You're like, no. Even though they come to me and they go, well, why don't you take me? Basically, I don't really want to say the truth, but in my mind, I'm saying, you suck. You know, so, basically.
Yeah, sometimes you got to, man. You know. Sometimes the truth is what they need.
Yeah.
Like, there's a guy I saw do on one of the shows. He just thinks so highly of himself. He just thinks so, you know, he's a good kid. I'm not, you know, I mean, he's a good kid.
Yeah.
Wrestling-wise, Not so good. You know, but I mean, and so he's gonna do one of these shows also, and so I'm just waiting for him to do something dumb, and somebody in the back may tell him something, or maybe he won't get a call again, and he's gonna ask, why don't they call me back? Like, well, this is why. You know?
Well, I mean,
but sometimes you have to be honest.
And you are aware that these kind of promoters, these guys that are actually running these shows, you know, if they don't like what they see. They're not going to bother with you anymore.
Exactly. Right.
They're not going to tell you, oh, you know what? I'll be in touch. No, they just won't call you anymore. They'll forget about you. They will just say, I know, chamos. And that's what they'll do.
So I told Kiki and Chris, you know, go out there and I know you're going to blow the roof off.
Right.
Like I said, I'm not saying that because we're in the valley. I mean, they're good boys. They're good. Chris is a very good talent, and so is Kiki. So is, I can't think of his name.
Dempsey. James
Blackheart. Mm-hmm. I mean, David Money.
David Money, yeah.
I actually trained David years ago, and then he was trying to go back and forth, and then his dad needed him down here because they have some kind of construction company.
Yeah.
And so he had to leave. And then also I had Frank the Tank.
Frank the Tank. Oh, my gosh.
Malia! Jeez. I came in for a while also.
Hey, he was my bodyguard.
Yeah. Oh, you needed a bodyguard. Oh, yeah. She did need a bodyguard against Nikki Fletcher.
You need to get on a bodyguard again.
I'm just kidding. But I hope those boys do good, man.
Yes.
They got tomorrow in Odessa, and then I have them booked also for San Antonio on the 14th.
Yeah. On the 14th.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I hope they do good. I think that the Brownsville and Houston shows came up later. But I mean, this came up with me. It came up August, July, around that.
Well, that's about the time that they had actually. No, you know what? No, because in reality, we were three back. We were actually scheduled in Port Isabel. Then all of a sudden, it got moved to that one. Right. I remember that because I had the schedule, because I work for Three Back Productions also and Lucha Libre. As you know, I do their ring announcing too.
Yeah, I just so when I got the guys who I hooked up with, what is his name? He's from Three Back. He runs the car light thing.
Jorge. Jorge or Valde? Valde Cortez.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And so we messaged back and forth on Facebook. He's like a nice guy.
And if you see Jorge and Valde, how you doing?
People are asking, why are you so quiet, Mark? Well, you know what? The thing is that when you got people talking like wrestling, I love to listen. Sometimes you guys sit back and listen.
The person's high quality.
Yes,
man,
yes.
Been in this business for a long time.
Yes, and that's listening to this, it feeds me more. Growing up as a kid, watching, then knowing you were going to be here, I was a big fan in the late 80s when wrestling started brewing up, WWF at the time, watching that, and then having you call or text me, say, hey, man, I'd love to be on your podcast. What can we set a date? Yeah. I go, who's this guy? And I go, all right, I'll look up in a little bit. All right, yeah, I go, yeah, man, let me set something up. Well, we'll get it going. And I did the research and everything. And I started seeing your name pop up. And I go, holy crap. I go, what did I just dig up a gold mine here?
I was.
The thing was, is that I heard the and Chu or whatever with him and Nikki and Nikki's dad and
right.
And so I started watching episodes and I'm like, for whatever reason, I told my mom has family down here.
Yes.
And so the last time I actually spent time down here was like the late 70s.
Really?
The valley was nothing like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So then we started coming up here with Vicky Vento, and her family is from La Feria. And so we started doing Harlingen, the El Slot. And then the guy from the El Slot, Sherry Westico, Israel, he said, hey, he came by and he said, hey, I'd like you guys to do wrestling at my place. And I said, sure, where's your place? He said, I have the El Slot in Westico. So we came, and I'm like, this is what happens. And the first show we did was close to 300 people.
Yeah, wow.
I don't know if you've been there, but it's not a very big place.
But been there a couple of times.
Yeah. And it was packed. It was, and then a lot of that thing had to do with Nikki was fighting for the title against Mike, and the storyline and stuff. And so we enjoyed coming down here. It's a pleasure.
That's awesome.
Long drive, but
it's worth having you down here, man. I'll tell you that much right now.
It's not that bad. It's a piece of cake. I saw that. And I saw that you guys were in a traffic jam? I mean,
that was Houston. It was raining.
Wow.
Ice, sleet and stuff. And that was a
Houston. Almost,
yeah, long, but another 13 hours.
Three hours. We're almost there. You guys drove only, 156 miles, that we just said already? Wow.
It's all good. Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Well, let me get into some commercials real quick. I got some sponsors that I got to give thank you to for keeping this show up and running. And we'll come back and we'll talk to Micah next. So she's next on the list right now. Big shout out to Anotis Constructions, residential, commercial, renovations, and remodels. These guys are always on the clock 24/7, man. Give these guys a call if you want to set up a new building, new house. Give them a call. They'll set you up. Let them know Chewing Who sent you. Also, if you're planning to build a parking lot, a driveway for your home, these guys have it. Anotis Construction. Concrete Solutions, give them a call. Same phone number, man. Talk to Tony. Let them know Chun who sent you. These are great guys. Big project in Edinburgh. As far as the courthouse, they're getting situations done right now before they start throwing the actual cement down to get everything up and rolling. And last but not least, I did talk to this guy today. There's a promotion coming up. Stay tuned sooner for the next episode because he's going to release a promo for you guys. I think he's going to be doing tattoo specials for the month of December. Pandora's Box, big shout out to Freddie Honda. As you can see, he did my custom custom tattoo on my arm. Really great job. Does a real. Yeah. Maybe he can put some hair on his head.
Probably. Probably.
More likely he can. He makes it look real 3D.
Let's do it to it.
But a big shout out to Freddie, man. Thank you so much for sponsoring the podcast, man. I appreciate everything you do. Guys, podcast going back, coming back to the great people here in the podcast with Micah.
Before you actually start talking to Micah.
What's up?
I want to say something to Rudy.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
I actually saw a video.
I'm sorry.
Actually, I saw a video once. You actually wrestled my favorite of all time, my favorite wrestler of all time, besides Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bruiser Brody. I saw that match, how it went down and everything. Question, Rudy, how did it feel wrestling a guy like Bruiser Brody? That guy was a beast.
It's hard to explain.
The story is, I don't really like talking to you about it because I'm exposed to stuff.
Plead the fifth.
It was a one-on-one match.
Okay, so yeah, that was.
And of course, the other one also.
He was always nice to me. I refereed a match with him and Abdullah the Butcher.
Yes, I saw that one too.
She pulls it up. My daughter pulls it up. But he's always been nice to me. The story on that match is I had just did a deal with a. Gary Hart had a guy called the American Ninja. And Gary Hart was trying. So several weeks he did a deal where the American Ninja guy like chopped a tomato can in half. And of course it was gimmicked a little bit. He chopped a watermelon in half and tore a phone book in half. And so he's this bad mixed martial arts guy.
Right.
And so Gary Hart said, brother, I want you to work with, I think his name was Chris or something. I want you to work with Chris and he's gonna give you a karate chop right in the neck. I want you to go down and we're gonna call the ambulance, we're gonna take you out. And I was like, I just saw this guy chopping. This guy was on the back and behind Gary Hart like,
he's crazy.
I took a while after him, and Gary goes, we'll bring you back after a month to make you a star. That was it.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, no problem.
Uh-huh.
So we did the deal. I mean, it's on YouTube. So we do the deal. Then he gives me a crack up. I go down.
Right.
And they called the ambulance. We had to stop the show for about 20, 30 minutes. They called the ambulance. They put me on the stretcher. The funny part about it is the doctor doesn't even check me. He runs into the ring. As soon as I go down, the doctor is there. Oh, my God, he's paralyzed.
You should YouTube it, bro.
I gotta find this video.
You gotta find it.
He's paralyzed. Call 911. And so they call 911. They put me on the stretcher. The EMT guys take care of me. And they're like, okay, don't move. They put the board under me and slide me out of the ring, put me on the stretcher. And as they cart me off, I'm trying to make this into, as believable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So think about a dog I had that died.
There you go.
So I start crying.
There you go.
So I'm crying, and I'm going through as they're pushing me through the crowd. The old ladies are like, and I'm trying to like this straight, and I have some tears, but I can hear people going.
People love me,
So I was gone for a month. They said after 2 weeks, they called me and they said, hey, so and so is going to come to your apartment. You're going to bring an X-ray. So the deal was, I couldn't go anywhere
in public
while I had this injury.
Right.
And then after 2 weeks, they said, so and so is going to come out and bring you an X-ray. So if you go anywhere, make sure you wear that X-ray. So they brought me those rubber neck
braces. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I had to walk around. Suddenly, at the HEB was like, hey, I saw you on TV. I'm like, I'm doing fine. And so we do a show and all. They finally called us and said, okay, you're in Austin next Saturday.
Right, right. Right.
I said, okay, so at the time, Bruiser Brody was doing this million-dollar man who's putting people out, but he gets stretchered out and stuff.
Right.
And so I get there, and I mean, call time wasn't until like 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I was there at noon.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Ready to go. They were putting the ring up. Hey, you can help us? Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Did you see the chop? Did you guys see the chop?
Everything starts showing up, and they go, "Hey, brother, glad you're back." And then Gary Hart shows up, and he goes, "Glad you're back." I'm like, "Thank you, Gary." And he goes, "Okay, so when I got here, and then we're gonna go to Boston." He goes, "Okay, what we got here is you're going to go about 7 minutes. And he's going to keep it on TV." And I'm like, "Yeah." So maybe he's going to beat me up.
I've been in my house for the last freaking month. Don't you think I've been watching TV?
But I'm thinking, maybe he's going to beat me up. And I'm going to make this big ass comeback. And I'm going to knock Bruiser Brody out. And I'm going to set him on the stretcher.
Right.
So he goes, "Okay, brother. So Brody's basically going to just eat you up, and then they're gonna take you on the stretcher."
Oh, like, gee, yeah.
And I go,
"Yeah."
What the hell? I'm like, but Bruiser, but Frank said, "Didn't we do that to him last month?" And Gary goes, "Oh yeah, bro, it's nothing.
Let's do it again. Why not, man?"
And Brody goes, "We can't do that to him."
No kidding.
And Gary Hart's like, "It's no big deal, brother. Don't worry about it." And Frank's like, "I didn't do that, son."
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there listening to him, and I'm like, "Is he really defending?" And so Gary Hart's like, "You know, don't worry about it, man. No one's gonna know. No big deal." You know, and he's like, I'm not. And he walks off.
Right.
So Gary says, "I'll be right back." So then Frank comes walking back. Mm-hmm. Bruce comes walking back. He goes, "All right, so I'm going to beat you, but when I go to pin you, I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to keep beating you up, and then they're going to ring the bell, and then I'm going to get disqualified."
Oh.
And I'm like, "Okay." He goes, "Yeah, so I'm not going to, at least you'll get the win." But I'm
Right.
I said, "Okay." So that's what we did. So he beat me up, bam, little pin me, the referee counts one, two.
Yeah.
He beats me up, he starts bam. And the referee's trying, stop, and, you know, the ringing officer says, "Bruiser Brody's been disqualified, they're winning $1 million. And I'm laying there, and the referee's but they cut that part out.
Oh.
So, you know, and that was Gary Hart editing the...
Oh, man, that's...
Yeah, but it's no big deal. It's not,
oh, dude, come on. Got to give you your flowers, man, for taking that bump for a whole month.
The thing that I think about the most is, and that was just him, is that
mm-hmm. Right, you know, that's awesome.
What was good for business and what wasn't good for business, for me anyway.
Right.
And then the other part was, I never became a star.
To me, buddy, right now, in my, you're a legend, my man.
No,
you are a legend, bro. You're a legend.
That. I mean,
to me right now.
Hell yeah. One of the guys that actually,
I appreciate
that. You know, main wrestling.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
Love
you. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's, you want to step out of the room now?
Hey, now let's go to the real fight.
Yeah. Let's go to the real stuff.
Hey, come on. Come on.
You know what? You can go outside and watch it. There you go.
Oh, really? We're going to go that route.
Here we go.
The same way that you have lost against Leaky Fuego.
Oh, here we go.
There you go. No, there are times you cheated. Cheated from her.
You already saw the match.
I don't know. I was just re-announcing that night.
Okay, I'm taking full control back of the podcast, but I'm like, where it's going. All
right? Hey, you don't want any chairs, right?
I'll get you one if he gets out of hand. No, don't worry.
You be quiet, man. You be quiet. I've already had enough slaps from Nikki.
We want to go ahead and get with Micah here and find out a little about you, where you grew up, and how you got into the wrestling business. So, camera's all yours. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. So, yes, I'm originally from Chama, New Mexico. Northern part of New Mexico, right close to the border of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
A small little town, but like 15 people. Small town.
Mm-hmm. McAllen.
I've always watched wrestling, so every time I was in my grandpa's, we'd always watch wrestling. I was always fascinated on how they did everything.
Right.
So one time, well, I started working in the post office. Mm-hmm. I was already tired of doing the same old stuff, live in a small town, everybody knows everybody.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? You show Michael's fans, so I like the way you entertain people, how you did all that. I'm like, you know what? I want to do something different. I was supposed to go to college. I didn't. So I was like, okay. So I sent a message to Texas Wrestling Entertainment. At 17 years old, mm-hmm. which I got ignored, so I'm like, all right, fine, I'll go a different route. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, okay, so at 18, I sent another message. Finally, he calls me like at 11 o'clock at night, and he's like, hey, I'm looking for a son for Mike, my name is Michael. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for Mike in Madrid. I'm like, hello, yes, this is me. And he's like, your name Michael? Is it Michelle? He's like, no, my name is Michael, so I have a twin brother.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So there's a story behind that.
All right.
So, like, yeah, so they're like little iffy, like, are you sure I'm the right person? So, like, I got to picture, like, filled out an awful application. Came down, checked out to school. All of a sudden, I went back home, and then I had to decide, do I want to come back or not? So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to be there anymore. I want to just get out and just be my own. So,
right, right.
My parents brought me.
Get out!
Started in 2011. Had my first match 3 months in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it was a crazy journey. I got job after job, going on trips, and coming back like, hey, if you're not in Missouri, you get fired. I'm like, okay, well, I guess something else.
Right.
Then I got pregnant. 2012, had my daughter Ivy. Mm-hmm. 6 months after she came back on the road.
There you go. Right, right, right.
And then I've been wrestling ever since. It's already been 13 years of wrestling.
Wow.
Yeah, a long time.
That's a good number. That's a good number. 13 is a good number. A real good number.
It's crazy because, like Rudy said, like, now I'm training girls. Like, I never thought that I could give something back to them.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, you know, like, Kim, he's at training. And I'm like, hey, you're the trainer. I don't know what I'm doing, but I have no confidence. Now, like, hey, he's a trainee. I've been going all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more confident.
Right, right.
Hey, I do have something to give back. So, like, whenever I did start working for WOW in 2022, July of 2022, I started working in August. Been there ever since, and it's been amazing.
That's wow. Awesome. Man.
Yeah.
That's
crazy so, journey up and down the roller coaster, right?
So, I mean, when you got into what you were talking about earlier about getting a phone call from WOW itself,
yeah.
And I was seeing the background check on you, and he says you have quite a few sponsorships, let's say events or different promotions you've been on.
Yes,
and I've seen you've been on AEW also.
Yes, I've been on AEW. So, Miranda extra girl, so he's just like, Micah available. I'm like, yeah, sure, just let me know when. So, yeah, I went to 2 AEW events. First one I didn't, wasn't wrestling, but I was there watching everything. And the next one that we were in, was
Dallas.
So, I wrestled Thunder Rosa right before she got signed.
Oh, wow!
Oh, Thunder Rosa.
Wow, yeah. Wow.
So, let me intervene real quick. This is going to go back to Chris and Kiki. So, what she's leaving out is before that. One of the good brothers,
Luke Gallows.
Yes. Oh,
shooting shows in Georgia.
Right.
And they needed a girl. And so another, a mutual friend named Francisco Ciasso, he called me, goes, hey man, what are you guys doing Saturday? Well, I had something else to do Saturday. And I'm like, I don't know why, what's up? He goes, Luke's running a show in some small town in Georgia somewhere. And he needs a girl. And I'm like, Micah can go. And, he goes, Cashy? I said, yeah. He goes, I know it's short notice, but man, I'm sorry. You know, I go, hey, she can be there.
Yeah.
Right.
So I told Micah, hey, you want to go to Georgia? She says, yeah, are you going? I said, no. So
me and my psychic.
There you go.
Her and our daughter went to Georgia.
There you go.
And then the promoter from Shine Wrestling said, hey, is Micah out? You know, I said, yeah. He goes, well, can she do Tampa Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she went to Tampa for Shine Wrestling Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So for the AEW spot, there was a time where all the girls that they had for the show were getting in the ring, working out stuff. And so Dustin Rhodes is watching. And so Luke Gallows, who's in AEW now,
mm-hmm.
walks by, hey, Micah, hey, Luke, shake hands, little hug thing, whatever. And then Dustin says, you know her? Mm-hmm. And Luke says, yeah, she works a couple shows for me. How is she? And then they start talking. And then she sends me a text message. I'm working tonight. I'm wrestling tonight. Yeah. I'm like, who are you wrestling with? And she said, I think I'm wrestling Thunder Rosa.
Holy moly.
Wow. Okay.
She goes, yeah, Dustin and Luke Gallows were talking. Remember I worked for Luke? Remember I wrestled for Luke Gallows a couple of months ago?
Dude.
And so Luke talked to Dustin, whatever. She did a good job. Mm-hmm. She did a good little, no problem. Da, 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 da. And so Dustin says, hey, put her in. And so same wow. thing with Kiki. And that's why I think same thing with Kiki and Chris. Go out there and do your thing, man. And people are watching. And let, somewhere down the road, someone's going to say, hey, I saw those guys. You know, and you never know.
So you wrestle La Mera Mera.
Yeah, and she used to have a school of jazz in San Antonio.
In San Antonio.
So
right, right.
Me and some girls did go over and train for a bit until they no longer had the girls' school.
And if you pull up the YouTube of Micah and Thunder Rosa,
you see
the comments,
mm-hmm.
and you see, you know, Micah kicks ass. Micah can do, you know, good job. Good,
yeah.
Good match,
all these,
you know,
it was a really good match. But 5 minutes,
easy. Really?
She didn't get signed, and so you're like, wonder why.
Well, I mean, consider the fact not getting signed for that promotion, but to actually say, hey, you know what, I did wrestle that.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's
exactly.
Something under your belt is that you know, you have confidence. You know, I've done that, and now, yeah. I mean, now with WOW, you did this for WOW now,
right?
And how's that going? I mean, are you still?
I'm still with WOW. You just finished filming season 4 in Las Vegas. So we literally are in California with the center in Las Vegas on Fremont Street, outside event. It was so nice. It rained a couple days.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we did that WrestleCade this past weekend. She represented.
Yes, wow. I went out. So this
And as a matter of fact, they were showing that show on Sundays here in the Valley from 4 to 5. As a matter of fact, I was watching it. Man, I mean, me and my wife were sitting down there and she was like, what are you watching? Like, wow. And as a matter of fact, I will be honest, the only reason that I started watching it was because I actually wanted to see you. And we're like, okay, where is she? Where is she? Where is she?
So they have another thing. What's it called? Every turn on Saturday, Wrestle. It's Wrestle something where you just turn it on and then WOW is there. It starts showing all the season
1. Wow.
Before
I'm using that a lot today, guys. Wow.
No. And man, if you haven't seen it, I was actually watching their episode this when they were in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, WOW says it all, man. Because and let me tell you one thing. There's a lot of talent.
A lot.
I mean, I was very amazed with those girls. I mean, I'm a heel, and I love that there's one girl. She was wearing a man, I forgot her name, a backwards cap and all that.
That's the rapper. What's her name?
The rapper.
She's BK.
Killer Kate.
Killer Kate, yes. As a matter of fact, I love the way she. Yes. I'm like, I would even be afraid just to actually just.
Wow.
And then her partner, Gigi Gianni, she just had a couple.
Okay.
Oh, wow. And I've seen bits and pieces of the. I haven't really gone into watch a lot of the WOW wrestling, but when I did start watching it, it brought. I mean, talk about nostalgia, going back as a kid, watching Glow for the first time, and when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh! I go, but you know, and it's something I tell my wife. Like my wife and I used to watch wrestling a lot back in the day. We don't watch it as much anymore, but you know, we would watch it at one period of time. We've noticed the persona of women wrestlers have changed through the years.
Right.
You know, you had Glow, which were the tough ladies, threw themselves around the ring and gave a good show. Then WWE brought the divas in, and there was more flashy, a little bit more, you know. More prerogative. I mean, you still had the good wrestlers. I mean, consider the fact you had Lita and you had Trish Stratus in the mix there.
You got to remember how Trish Stratus first started. Yeah. She started
and
as
people like China, you know, seeing China come out there and whoop butt left and right.
Yeah.
You see that persona of wrestler, women wrestlers change. Now they're like, they're roughnecks, man. They go out there and they're throw down.
Just as hard as the guys do. Yeah. I think we put in more work than the guys do. I feel like we have to prove ourselves.
Yes.
One example we're going to put.
Hey, with Mansworth.
Right.
And one example I'm going to put, I mean, and I've actually refereed several of her matches when she was in the independent. That's actually Roxanne Perez.
Yeah, and
you
I
know, Roxy. She was actually Roxy. You know, so she was actually at Laredo. I refereed a lot of her matches in the when she was independent. And I remember when I actually told her, one day you're going to be up there.
Yeah.
And look where she's at now. And look at her. I mean, her and Raquel Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Look at them; those people. They're from the 956, and look where they're at. Why? Yeah. Because they have that hard day passion. They want it; they're gonna get it.
Great examples of putting the work in, and they put the work in. I mean, when Rick told Vicky, I called her.
Yeah.
Vicky, you know, you got 3 years, and she put the pedal to the metal. Roxanne used to take a bus from Laredo to Houston.
I remember that.
Come back to us and go to school to have you. And I mean, so whatever they have, they deserve.
That's the thing. A lot of people don't realize how much dedication, especially as a female wrestler, you have so much obstacles in front of you. So as a female wrestler,
especially
so,
for female,
yeah, mm-hmm. It's hard.
But the female wrestlers now, like Mark said, they put more into it. I've seen it where they're like, I rather watch the female instead of watching the males because you're like.
Well, that reminds me of a story. So
here we go.
I was traveling around, like we said, I was in Georgia one Saturday night. They told me to come to Shrine Sunday night, so we drove from Georgia to Florida, and then Florida back to San Antonio. I was working for a 30 championship wrestling with Tokyo Kahedas. So he's like, hey, can you come down for a match? And he put me in a triple threat with Kelsey and Rocky Bradley. I'm like, yeah, sure, there we go. All of a sudden, we stole the show. I came back not even a month later. Me and Kelsey had a match to try to defend my Texas Women's title. We tore up the show. Rudy went with us that one time. We were semi-main, and then there was a guy who was after us. We tore it up so much. Him and Tokyo Kahedas, the promoter, talking. And all of a sudden, the poor guys, this main event match, it was a title match, were like, we want the females. And we're like, oh, shit.
I was there watching.
They were like, whoa,
the girl named Kelsey Joe and big girl, good worker. Yeah. I mean, for her size and stuff, she does really good. And her and Michael went out there and bam, bam, bam. And then they go over the guardrail into the crowd, bam, and the fans are just going nuts.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then they catch back, you know, they get back in the ring and finish the match, whatever. And there's a buzz going and, you know, everybody's talking about the match and stuff. And the promoter, Tokyo Kahedas, he was an NWA champion for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes up and goes, hey, bro, Micah and Kelsey kicked ass, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sitting there talking, having a beer, just talking over stuff, whatever. When can she come back? That type of stuff. The guys go out there. It's a Florida title match or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they start off, and, you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes in the match, we want the girls.
Yeah.
We want the girls. And then we're just like, what are they saying? And then we're listening, we want the girls. And the guys just kind of like stop for a second, like,
what about us?
What about us?
And I said, so we watched the match, and they kept on, and they kind of tried cranking it up a little bit, and
too late, too late.
Yeah, like they
and one of the girls, and I told Tokyo, I was like, dude, next month they got to be the main event.
Yeah,
they have to.
Yeah,
and he was like, no doubt, bro. No doubt. So the next month they come back in the main event, same
Romanos.
Thing. Faces going nuts, yeah. Bigger crowd. And
because look who the main event was now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, so I mean, I get, you know, there's some girls that go out there and it's TNA, you know.
Yeah.
But then there's some girls that go out there and just work their tails off.
Yeah.
And that was a good example, you know. And so I think they did maybe like one more match.
One more, and then it led to the first time ever bull ropes match.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yeah. For females. I actually broke my ribs.
That one I didn't.
He didn't go. Huh?
Oh, I'm very positive. This happened.
When the hell did this happen?
Hold on. We're having our match for a Boro match. Of course, you know, over Tyson.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I was out of the ring. I was going to get on the guardrail and jump onto the apron, but instead she pulled me, so I hit my side.
Hit your side.
So yeah, I didn't break them, but I got bruised ribs really bad. I hit her with the bell on the rope, and it cut her head open.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there's pictures. I can send to you.
Okay. Now, did you do it?
Whoa.
And so when I got back,
you better be careful,
my parents and stuff, so I was off money, like, not even two weeks, like a week. And then somebody told him that, oh, no,
I'm
like, man, you can't tell him that.
Let me tell you what really happened.
Here's the real story.
I stay home, and I have, there are fans that are there that know me, and they're like,
Spice.
Hey, bro, this is what happened. And then at the end of the night, somebody sent me a video of where Kelsey pulls Mike and she hits her side of the ring. Bam. And so, it was a short clip. And then later on, he sends me a picture and Kelsey is like, she has blonde hair. Her face is bloody and what have you. And
that was one hell of a match.
I'm like, I messaged her, I'm like, what happened to Kelsey? And she said, I hit her with the cowbell. She busted her head open, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, what happened with the, when you hit the ring? And then she says, oh, I cracked my ribs and we're going to the hospital right now. And I'm like, show me a picture of Kelsey's. So she took a picture and that girl had like a gash.
Yeah, she got that big.
And so then she messaged me later on. She goes, yeah, they put staples in her head and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, what about your ribs? She goes, I don't know, I'll be all right. I think I'll be okay. And I'm like, well, just be careful when you drive back. Just, you know, take it easy. She comes home. I'm like, can I carry the bag for you? Come. Yes. And then I started noticing, like, she's doing stuff, whatever, and just, like, no big deal. And I'm like, wait.
What really happened?
What did the doctor say? She said, the doctor said I have crack ribs.
Oh, then he was going to just say that.
I want a second opinion.
And she never did, so I'm like, are you sure?
I'll look for it. Don't worry. It'll be on there.
You know one thing really that this is one thing that we basically lack here in the Valley. Girls wrestling, women, you know.
There's a lot of
you know,
so
that's one thing and basically main one is Nikki Fuego that we have down here. I know that there's another young lady coming aboard. I hope, you know, I've seen her in the trainings with New Breed, and her name is Vivica Jade. Basically, I can call her the mini Rhea Ripley because she looks like that. But that girl, I see her the way she trains, and she has a big heart for the sport.
Yeah.
She has it. And I see that in her when I go to the training facilities. I see that a lot in her. And I'm like,
are there other girls that train with her?
No.
See, and that's the thing that I was told, like, because I'm not to be mean, but like, I started training and there was nothing but guys. Mm-hmm. But once I started going out there and having wrestling matches with females wrestle completely different than guys.
Totally.
There's some girls that cannot face you, there's some girls that can do whatever you want them to do. But whenever I had my first match with Nikki, so I go, I'm like, okay, she's like, oh, I've been training for a while, so okay, so what can you do? And, you can really not stop her or anything, but she can do anything. And he's like, I pulled a match out of her. And it's not a WrestleMania match, but it was
yeah,
a good
Yeah,
and
you
a,
guys,
good
you
match.
Guys actually did a great job.
Yeah.
Like, we focus on, I'm not knocking, Danny Chantron's Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
Good dude.
Yeah.
Not his training style at all. But we focus
on basics.
Exactly. So, like, when she talks about her and Nikki, she says, you know, hey, can you do a hammerlock? Nikki, like,
can you do arm drags?
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that. But I can spear you.
Yeah.
But I can.
As a matter of fact, do you remember one time you actually wrestled her and you all did a move, te dio un látigo donde te sacó and all that?
Yeah.
Okay. I train with her doing that.
Okay.
I train with her because I know more about lucha libre.
Yeah.
Right,
instead
right.
of American style wrestling.
Yeah.
To me, lucha libre is more, to me, it's more arrow, more
right,
more
right.
everything. So when she was telling me that she was going up against you, and I go, hey, practice this. Let's practice this. And then ask her, what does she think about it? And she actually came to me and she goes, look, we did it, let's say. And she showed it and she was all excited. Not that I want to take any credit for that, but a lot of times, you know, us, we've been in the wrestling business for a long time, you know, for decades, we can say decades. We don't mind saying how many years we have. But a lot of times, a small advice can be big for them.
Sure.
It doesn't have, you know, and all that. And like Kike Caballero, when I go into the training facility, he goes, hey, porque me dice cacahuate. And he goes, hey, cacahuate, what do you want me to tell him to do, to train? And a lot of these young guys that are barely coming into this, it's like I always tell them, Kike, you have to start with the basics.
Right.
You know, hazlo changuitos. Don't train them to already do the heavy stuff because they're going to get injured. And that's one thing you don't want from them.
Right.
Comienza con lo básico, changuitos, you know, esto, haz japonesas, haz lo que sea, haz lo básico. Right. You know, they have, because you know already for that, you really have to train for at least minimum, I would say 3 months. Sure. Maybe the maximum 6 months only with the basics. Then right. After that, if you feel comfortable doing other stuff that you want to train to do that, then do it.
And not only you feel comfortable, that other people feel comfortable working
yeah.
with you.
Exactly. You know, yeah, and it's like I tell a lot of these guys that all of a sudden me dicen, hey, pues, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to wrestle this guy. I don't know nothing about him. The advice that I tell them, and I'm pretty sure you agree with me, Rudy, is like, hey, if you don't feel comfortable doing something that you think, or I might get injured or this, don't do it.
Right.
If they get mad, who cares? It's your body you have to think about.
Yeah.
At the same time, the same way you have to take care of yourself, you also have to take care of your opponent.
Right.
Exactly.
Especially como tú dices, Micah, the base.
Yes.
Like we call it, la base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, see, if one of you, si no pones base, like we call them, oh my God, you're going to get injured. Especially, like we call it in Spanish, cuando haces un tope, you know, de cuerdas, que te vas a las cuerdas y haces un tope.
Exactly.
You know, hey, if you don't know how to put that base, guess what? You're not only going to injure him, you're going to injure yourself too.
That's true. Yeah, that's exactly. True.
Not that with the woman wrestling, whenever you go out, like, I honestly agree you didn't have no woman to work with me. I worked with the main, you know what I mean? Like, the same height and everything. Right. It's still a man. So,
you guys, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But the guys. So, whenever I started going out wrestling with females, I don't know how they work. You know, I'm just them, and they're just with their body. So, having matches with different women, like, knowing how they wrestle a little bit, maybe they don't know as much as I do, or maybe they know more. Just, for example, like, working with Ivelisse at Shine, she taught me so much on how to slow down, how to call a match, how to just relax in the ring.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, be aggressive.
You watch Ivelisse's match, everybody's always telling me, oh, she's so good, she's so bad. She is like one of the women that I go up to and be like, hey, how do I do this, or what's this or that?
Right.
Going to OVW, working for Al Snow in Kentucky.
Al Snow,
yeah.
Sweet.
He's the same thing.
Everybody wants a man. What does everybody want?
working Maria Padilla, she's the one that runs the women's division at the OVW. She is the locker room. And so every year I go to it's called the Nightmare Rumble. So that would be 2026 Nightmare Women's Rumble.
OVW, that OVW, Ohio?
Yeah, Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Does that still exist? OVW?
Yeah, it's really? Al Snow's been there forever, right?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's but that's not that wrestling organization is not affiliated anymore with WWE,
not
right?
No more.
They used to.
Randy Orton came from there.
Yeah, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, and all that.
Batista.
Yeah, all those guys. John Cena came from there.
John Cena, yeah.
So, making trips over there, it's like 12 hours, going over, I'll drive, because I don't understand that thing. Going for nothing, you know, I just wanted to get the opportunity working
right.
with somebody giving me feedback.
Right, right.
So out of the blue, we could be home Wednesday, they must show up Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday in the afternoon, I said, hey, come I could be here Thursday. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah, I gotta go by.
Al's done that, yeah.
Yeah, he's done that. And that's whenever I start working with them, that's they're like, okay, I see Michael's reliable. So I'm able to just go up there, but I don't mind.
Right.
Working with all those different females and stuff, now that's where I'm saying like a lot of these roles that are just in training centers with just men, you need to go out there and wrestle with other females and get to work with them.
Right, right, right.
So that's why whenever I have like girls who have training at the Texas Wrestling Academy, it's different because it's already like, can you put the guys aside, let us just go there with each other and work on stuff. It's
right.
So much different and easier.
I'll get the guys out of the ring, get out, you know, let them in. They'll have their 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever. Do whatever they, you know, she gets them going. But like I said, long years ago, Mercedes Martinez said, girls train differently than guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't try and train. So after that.
And one of the days that you guys are actually down here, I would love to introduce you guys to Vivica.
There was a girl that Mike had worked with one time. She came down and did a show for New Breed. I can't think of her name.
Ellie Bloodmoon?
Yeah.
Ellie.
Well, actually, yeah, she was. She's not. As a matter of fact, we saw her last, when was it, on Sunday, right? We saw her on Sunday. No, she actually stepped down. We don't know why she stepped down, Ellie Bloodmoon. I know that she had a very thing with Nikki Fuego. She had a very thing with that. I don't know what happened.
It wasn't the greatest match. You can kind of see where there was something there. And I wanted to talk to her, but if I remember correctly, that day was cold, so I just wanted to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I remember that.
So, but yeah, I was wondering what happened to her. I thought she was very good.
Yeah, she's around, but she hasn't been around the wrestling ring or even practicing for a while.
Right? That's the thing is, it's for some people, sometimes it's not. Like, yeah. I was talking to some girls the other day. Like, you don't know how much dedication and how much time it takes from you. Like, missing family events, missing everything. Like I said, my daughter goes with me on the road. Like, she shouldn't have to be doing all that stuff.
Right.
But you know, she enjoys it, so it's great. She gets to meet all kinds of different people.
Right.
The sacrifices that you do, it's crazy. But at the end of the day, like, this past week, you're going to WrestleCade. Like, I wasn't supposed to wrestle, so I go as Sylvia Sanchez. I'm always signing autographs, selling pictures, talking to fans, talking to people that I haven't seen in forever.
Mm-hmm.
The promoter comes up to me, telling from Lady Night Out. Yeah. I haven't worked for him since 5 years. And he's like, hey, I didn't know you're still wrestling. I guess some people told him I wasn't wrestling anymore. I was like, yeah, I still wrestle. He's like, okay. He's like, you want to wrestle? I'm like, yeah, sure. But that was my Micah thing. He's like, yeah, I'm available anytime. I work for a while now, so I have to take into consideration, like, hey, I need to talk to David McClain. I need to talk
to him.
And that's the way you do business.
Yeah, that's the way you do business.
But that goes back into Kiki and Chris's. She did some stuff for him in 2025.
Yeah.
And that's 5 years ago. So we're at WrestleCade and she signed autographs and he walks by. I see him and he's like, hey, Micah. And they start talking. And so I'm just standing there. And then he comes up to me, shakes my hand. Hey, good seeing you, Rudy. And he walks off. And then she says, I'm wrestling tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
She wanted to go sign autographs and represent.
Wow, there you go.
That situation. So because of the work she did years ago, and I get easy to work with. I'm not saying as her husband or whatever. I mean, she's easy to work with.
Her boss.
Hold on.
As a promoter, you know, she's easy to work with. You know, she'll do this, she'll do that.
Whatever you want me to do, I'll do whatever you ask.
Mm-hmm. There was a situation a few years ago where she was going to do a deal with the Boogeyman.
Yeah.
Oh.
The worms. It was her and another girl. And the other girl was supposed to get the worms.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, she sent me a message before their match.
Right before we were going out.
Right before.
Right before.
They want to put the worms on.
I put my phone down and then that's why I do his best filling up my phone. I'm like, hey, I'm already in the ring, you know? She
says they want to put the worms on now. I'm like, did y'all talk about this already? She said, no, you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what do I tell him? Say no. And so she goes, well, I'll figure it out. So they do the match, they get on the mat, and here he comes. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Okay. I was like, you know what? What is she doing? And I, what?
Yeah, he said,
it's I called good TV.
All right. Yeah. That's her business. All right. So that company closed.
Yeah.
Another company came in and ran the same building. And so she's supposed to wrestle.
She was supposed to wrestle. They called to the
at the last minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last minute.
Same building. So James Beard and Eric Embry were running the show, yeah. And so they're like, Micah wrestle? And I'm like, you know, I said, yeah, you know, whatever. But I'm thinking, the last time she was in that building,
they put worms in her mouth.
Put worms in her mouth.
Not this time. Not this time.
So she has a match with
Marty Bell.
Marty Bell is a world-class wrestling ladies' champ, Diamonds Division champion.
Okay.
So, and Micah was a fill-in. But because Mike was so easy to work with and didn't make a big commotion with the worm situation or whatever, months ago, they put her match. Who wins?
Miss Mike herself.
So I'm sitting there like,
I messed up the match.
Did she just pick? And I'm sitting there like, what the? And then James Beard
and Eric Embry
are looking at me and they're laughing. And I'm like, what are y'all laughing about? Did y'all call this? And they're like, Mike is a good kid. She's a good kid. All right.
Did you just say Eric Embry?
Eric Embry. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Like, oh man, he was also one of my favorite ones was Southwest Championship.
Eric Embry. So Saturday, we're doing a WrestleCade, and Luke Williams, one of the Bushwhackers, was there signing autographs. And so Luke Williams, years ago, Luke Williams is the one that pulled the trigger for me to start wrestling. So I went up, hey Luke, how you doing? And he's like, Rudy. And he got up, went around the table, gave me a hug, and I mean, you go up to people and they're like, hey, how you doing? You know, whatever, bro. This was like a tight bro hug. It was like,
right.
You know, there was feeling behind it.
Right.
And he goes, it's been so long. He goes, it's been so long, Rudy. He goes, how long has it been? I'm like, about 40 years, man.
Wow.
He goes, how have you been? He goes, man, I'm so glad you're still in the business. And I'm like, I got to thank you. You're the one that. And I said, you, Eric, and there was a guy named Jonathan Boyd. You, Eric, and Jonathan are the ones that made that call.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. I just want to tell you thank you.
That's awesome.
He gave another hug. He goes, my pleasure. He goes, you're always a good boy. You're always a good boy. And just, you know, and I've gotten to where, like, I just want to tell all the guys, through the years, I've met Manny Fernandez, Chavo, I was able to make peace with
Raging Bull Manny Fernandez.
Chavo, you know, me and Chavo had beers together when she was a baby, and he would look at her like, and then look at me and like, are you sure that's your daughter? And I'm like,
what are you doing with this guy? You know?
I mean, I love those guys, man. Luke, I mean, I wish I could have told Butch, you know, Luke's, honored, you know, thank you and stuff. I mean, he passed away a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric, you know, he was running the world-class promotion for the Southwood Wrestling promotion for a while. And, you know, we talked for, I mean, I was doing this stuff, you know. Hey, crying.
Somebody's chopping onions.
You know, all those
damn guys, allergies.
All those guys mean so much to me because they're the reason why I'm still doing
this. That's awesome.
You know, Tully's Tully and you know, but I love the man to death. I mean, he's still Tully Blanchard, but you know, people are like, hey, he's an asshole. Man, he's good to me though. You know, I just want to tell all the guys that gave me that little push, just thank you, man.
And absolutely. There you go.
And then when that happens, I share it with my students because I want one day for them to appreciate, you know, what they're doing and hopefully appreciate the work that we're putting in to get them whatever.
Right, right. Exactly.
Kiki sends me messages. Hey, Rudy, I just want to tell you guys that's for that. You know, Chris will say, hey, thanks, bro, whatever. You know, Steve, James Blackheart, he's not on the show in San Antonio, but he sent me a message. I'll be there. If you guys need me, I'm there. I'll help with the ring. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll, you know, just want to tell you I appreciate you helping me out, stuff.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. You know, it means more than, you know, Brian Kendrick one time said, if I ever make it to WWE, I'm going to buy you a house.
Where's my house?
Where's your house?
Exactly.
Where's my house at?
Dude, I'm still in an apartment, man. You live in Malibu in California. And he's like, oh, coach.
Help me.
I'm not making that much money now. You were before. Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of times we, you know, we thank all those people. Those people that actually opened the doors, you know, for us, you know.
Yeah.
And when I say us, because, you know, I remember that all of a sudden I used to get some phone calls. Hey, are you so-and-so? Like, yeah. Hey, I need a referee. I need for this match and all that because for so many years I did it before. I still do it every once in a while if I want to, but I do more ring announcing. But I mean, just to get that phone call from people that I don't even know,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, well, we heard a lot about you, and all that. You know, hey, we want you to come. We're having this show. Can you referee for us and all that? Absolutely. Right. I was like, and I've been very blessed in this business to actually have known and still know a lot of people that are way up there.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing at the comments that are coming out, and Jancito's making me laugh. He goes, don't thank Micah no more because she calls me Yoron.
Jancito, Nikki's dad.
Nikki's dad.
Nikki's dad. And they have
a name
on them, so he could just use it.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry, he's listening.
He's listening. To this day, like we're at WrestleCade, I haven't been in that part of the country
in years.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the driver for Micah.
Uber.
And
Uber?
I took Sabino Blaze over there.
Yeah.
And Sabino made a connection with his people, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm just standing there at the table, just, you know, looking around. And then someone comes up,
Rudy?
Are you Rudy Gonzalez? Yeah, and then, yes, I am.
Well, yes, I am.
Yeah, and I was just like, man, that's why you wrestle. That's why blah, blah, blah. And you know, no one asked me, who was that?
I have no clue.
Yeah.
There was a guy, so there's a video out there of like Jim Cornette, some guys, old-timer guys, talking about wrestling, and so some of the guys that were asking questions, like, we don't wrestle fake, and we don't wrestle either, and this, so you stayed with.
Vente a entrenar a ver to see if it's fake.
And then this guy is like, I just want to tell you guys I appreciate everything you've done. It's on video, it's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. He's like, but it's still real to me, he's
crying. I got you.
And so that went on a few years ago. That went viral. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, yeah, you're an idiot because you still believe in wrestling and you're blah, blah, blah. But that's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
And so I'm like, hey, if he still believes us, so what, man? Leave alone.
Yeah.
So he sent me a couple of messages. This was like 5-6 years ago. He was like, hey, thank you for defending me. And I look up to you and all stuff. And I'm like, hey, no problem. You know, I appreciate fans like you. So Saturday, where they have a wrestling show at that WrestleCade, and the promoter, Tracy Myers, takes me and Mike, and we have some other people with us, to go give us some seats.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy sends me a message. He's like, hey, man, I didn't know you were going to be at WrestleCade. I'm like, yeah, I'm here, you know, watch your show. He goes, I want to meet you. I'm here at the hotel. Everyone had a hotel across the street. And he goes, I was there earlier, but my back was giving me problems. So I had to come home and I had to come to the hotel and rest or whatever. And I'm like, if your back's giving you problems, just rest, man.
Yeah.
He goes, no, I want to come and meet you. I want to come and – and I'm like, you know – and he was like, where y'all sitting at? I just said, we're watching the wrestling match. And he kept messaging me, and I was ignoring him.
Mm-hmm.
So we're watching the match, and I feel,
oh,
uh-oh.
And he's right behind you.
Yeah, he's right there, like, you stalking son of a bitch. He's like, really? I go, yeah. He goes, I'm so glad I met you. Gave me a hug, and he was... got down on his knees. I'm like, you want to see? You want to share? He's like, no.
I heard him say my back and like scoot down. I'm like, you got to give him a chair.
He was holding me tight. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, I mean, stuff like that, man. It makes you, on my end, sometimes I get so frustrated with some stuff that these guys do. And it's like, man, it's not for me no more. But then stuff like this happens. It's like,
yeah.
This is why I did this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
no matter how pissed off I get off with it, this is why.
There you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told him, you know, if you have a bad back, sit down.
Jesus.
You sit down. It's right. My privilege to sit.
And he just did it for like 5 minutes. He was there for almost for two matches. And those matches were
long matches. That's awesome.
It was like half an hour, yeah.
Wow.
And then finally he left. He was like, I don't want to keep you from the matches. And you already have, but.
I already missed two, thanks to you.
So he left, and, you know, and I just sat there watching matches, but my head was like, you know, there are people out there that still love wrestling.
Right.
You know, and even though the participants, the players, mm-hmm. act like fools, the fans still love
it. Yeah, that's true. They eat it up. They eat it up.
And so, you know.
You know, and a lot of these fans that sometimes, you know, during the matchup, they take it very personally.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, those are the ones that become your best friends.
Sure. Yeah,
you know, and I know because I've made so many friends because of the way I was. You know, my wife knows me that I'm actually a rudo. I've always been 100% rudo. I'm a heel.
It still is.
I'm one of those that I want the people, you know, out there to hate me. Yeah. You know, right now I'm actually just
doing a manager, great job, buddy. You're doing absolutely. a real great job.
I know that. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, she doesn't like that because she thinks they're going to get up and beat me up.
And it's hard for short people to get heat like that.
I know. Yeah, I know. Hey, that's okay. You're short too, Rudy.
Maybe one.
Maybe one. I'm older, so the older you get, the shorter you
get. It's gravity. It pulls you down.
It's your hair. I don't have any hair.
It's gravity. It pulls you down. Oh, okay. I got to hear. It says, I have a question for Rudy and Armando.
I'm on.
It says, what do y'all think about AEW doing all the blood and board and nails, like the Moxley? What do you think about that?
That's their style of wrestling.
Yeah, that's just their style of wrestling.
You know, it's not for me. I'm not. I'm used to like they say Southwest wrestling, the Sheeper. They were like the innovators of hardcore wrestling. And at that time, you know, there was a lot of blood and stuff like that, but it was. Manny Fernandez and Chavo Guerrero fighting the sheep herders for weeks and weeks, and they cheated, and then they hit them with a chair, and then they hit them with a table, and then finally these guys were like, you know what, we got to the cage next week. You know, it was built up every week,
right.
And so when they did those matches, that meant something,
right?
And you could hear the buzz in the air when fans were showing up, like, oh, it's a cage match,
it's a cage match,
and so we would. Had the matches, and then we're going to take a 45-minute intermission to set the cage up, and we have to take the cage piece by piece,
set it up.
Like now what they do
they
is,
just drop it down.
What a lot of promotions do is they set the cage up and they have all the matches in the cage.
That's true.
What's the joint?
I think Danny did that about
that.
Danny did that a couple years ago.
Well, actually, it's because we have those kind of, I guess, shows. I mean, every year we have that one. It's only once a year. It's not all the time.
Yeah.
Where all the matches, all five matches are inside a cage and all that.
Like Nikki said,
was very nervous. So, you know, she basically goes, I'm going to be in a cage. And don't worry about it, sweetie. That's where she belongs.
Wow.
Yeah. That's where she belongs.
Shots fired.
She asked me,
she goes,
I'm going
to kidnap with so-and-so.
Let's do the next, right?
No, actually that day was against Toxico.
Oh, Toxico.
Yeah, for the title. You know, she was defending her title.
And she's like, what do I do? And I'm like, you're in a cage match. She said,
anything goes.
And I'm like, why? And she said, because all the matches are going to be in a cage. And I'm like,
what?
So what led up to you and this guy?
I wasn't there that day, right?
And she says, I don't know, we just had a match.
I had gotten beaten, so
instead of me giving her advice on how to go about this cage match, I was like, why would you guys be in cages? It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, all the matches are going to be in cages. That's the most stupidest thing. But I was scared to go tell Danny, you know.
Yeah.
And Danny's like, hey, bro, you know.
But you got to admit something, to me, in my opinion. If you're going to be in a cage match, use the cage. That's the whole thing about
it. That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
Don't just wrestle, you know. Don't just do a regular wrestling match inside. Use it. Scratch the guy, you know. Pound them, you know. Yeah. Get on top of it. Jump down.
That's the bad thing about it is they don't know how to use it. Mm-hmm. No one, you know.
You don't really get taught how to use a cage, you know. It's common sense to be like, yeah.
Me, believe me, if I would have been with somebody in there, believe me, I would have used it as much as I could.
The first cage match that I saw working as a referee and stuff, the referee, and I was right there, right next to the guys.
Shit.
You know, and you know, whoever would, you know, yell at me about something while this guy is doing whatever he's doing, and the fans are screaming and hollering, and he goes back over here, and then everything. And so that's how I learned how to do cables, by watching these guys,
right?
And going 100 miles into the thing with no fear and just running into it, you know. And so when I do, you know, I've only done maybe two or three. But same thing, man. If a guy, I'll tell a guy, you know,
throw me in it.
There you go.
Because the worst thing you want to do is, like you said, have a cage match and not even use it.
Yeah.
Have a tables match and
not even use the tables.
Oh, gosh. I mean, if you're going to be in any kind of match like that, whether it's a hardcore cage match, bull rope, whatever,
use it.
Use it. What? That's going to be your advantage, man. Sure. You know, and that's why I'm actually hoping that they can give me permission for, because my dream is actually just to have one last match.
Don't worry, you'll get one when you get home. Okay.
You know, but then again, you know why, Mark.
Yeah, I got you.
Actually, after the show, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but I'll let you guys know what's going on.
I was going to say, don't you have some, then why? We can talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
The only reason why I'm telling you I'm cutting it short because we're already about an hour, 25 minutes.
That's okay.
No, it's not.
That's okay. That's okay. So
we got a
version. We have Rudy.
Of course. Go ahead. Go for it.
We worked with Nikki, and I know this is supposed to be about Mike and stuff, no, but we worked with Nikki for about a year now.
Yeah.
Good girl. Great family. Her dad does anything and everything to try and keep her on track.
Right.
Always ask me questions. And so, you know, and the reason why I bring this up is not all parents are like that.
No. Mine are sure not like that.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Still, I'm on TV.
No, I mean, the first time I actually did it, I remember, you know, my dad wasn't too much of a fan of me doing it.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, he wasn't too much of a fan. As a matter of fact, on my very first match, he actually went. And he came back, and the first thing they ask is, how did it go? Oh, lo madrearon al cabrón. Salud madreado. You know, but then again, it's because we love it. You know, a lot of times we don't have, even though my dad was a big time fan of Lucha Libre, he didn't like the idea of me joining it. You know,
my mom and dad never saw me wrestle. My dad would watch wrestling late at night when I was younger. And then when I got into wrestling, and my dad, I was supposed to be going to school. And my dad said, how's school going? I'm like, I'm working for Southwest Wrestling. What are you doing? Putting the ring up and selling T-shirts. Oh, how much you pay you?
I'm supposed to get paid?
He said, what about school? And I said, I dropped out. And so my dad said, you got to move out.
Yeah.
And so when Jacinto, you know, sends me a message, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think? Or any parent messaged me about, you know, their kid wrestling or whatever. Man, I greatly
he's very proud of her.
Appreciate it. And then at the same time, like, you know, her parents totally against it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not going into too much, but really tried, you know, really tried sabotaging, you know.
Yeah,
but we did a show in her hometown, and we had 400 or 500 in a town. I was joking, but I wasn't joking. In her town of Chama, there were 10 people there. That's probably 1,000. At the show that we had in her hometown, we had about 400 or 500 people.
So basically, you had half of the town in there.
Yeah, I am from surrounding towns. And then it was in the newspaper the next day, front page. And so a couple of months later, we go back to her, you know, her town or whatever. We go to her mom's house. Her mom's making dinner, breakfast, whatever. Yeah. Her mom goes, you know, you were in the front page. She tells her, you know, you're on the front page of the newspaper after y'all show when y'all were here, right? And Mike is like, yeah. And she goes, did y'all get a copy of the newspaper? And I got a couple. I said, yeah, I got a couple of copies.
She opens the pantry. She bought all of them.
She opens the pantry door. If you want another copy, But she was the mom. You know, her mom was also like, she doesn't have to be doing this. She has no business doing this. She should go home back to, you know, back home to Chama. She shouldn't have no business here. You know, we need her back at home. You're just completely anti-wrestling.
Yeah.
Right.
And so when all that stuff was happening, when I saw the crowd there, you know, the whole time I'm like, all the wrestlers signed autographs.
I don't know.
All the wrestlers signed autographs and pictures. And Micah's line was, and I'm like, who are all these people? She's like, that's my cousin. That's my Thea. I went to school with her. And this guy, I used to date him. He used to have a crush on me, whatever. And I'm like,
Next boyfriend. But that's what I like to see is right. when the parents, when the families are like, you know, you shouldn't be wrestling, there's no money in that. And then you're successful at it.
Yep.
And then it's like, take that, you know. You want to push in their face, you know. And that's how I was. I say that, and my I said, my mom and dad never saw me wrestle, but there's times where I'm like, you didn't want me doing this, but
I made it work.
I made it work, you know. And right. I say it vengefully, but also like I wish they would. I wish at some
it's
point they would.
That you wish that they would support.
You know.
Right. Yeah, right. Right.
So yeah. See, sometimes you wish they would support you, right, Rudy? So, right.
So when I see
you get your ass kicked when you get home. I just
probably outside of the parking lot.
You know what? We'll film it.
When I see Nikki's people come in. You know, the mom, the dad, the aunt, the cousins, the family members, stuff. And she had a whole section. I'm just like,
yeah,
that's how it is.
That's how it is. Yeah, that's how they're proud.
Just a quick shout out to her dad. You know, Nikki's can suck an egg, but I mean, you know, her parents, her family.
And before we leave, Rudy, when are you coming back to down here to the valley?
So February 1st, we're in Arlington, Texas.
Okay.
And then February
15th,
Weslaco.
Okay.
All right.
And I'm working on getting the, what's his name, Atomical. He was on AAA Worlds Collide Wrestling, the little midget guy. Almost, whatever his name was. And
dude.
The midget guy. Okay, I'm working on getting the midget guy.
Now. Okay.
I'm also working
You got to bring him to the studio, bro.
That guy's so bad.
I'm also working on getting some
Atomical.
Some wow talent. Yeah.
Okay.
Down here as well. I mean, Nikki, I think, so the last time we were in Westville, I had Nikki wrestle a girl named
Abaddon,
which was
Abaddon. She was one scary girl, man.
Abaddon, Nikki. Yeah. But it's a learning experience for Nikki.
Absolutely. You
know? Yeah.
And so, I mean, Mike has worked with Evelise. When she worked with Evelise, wrestled with Evelise, I mean, Micah's level went.
It's a different type of wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
When she wrestled Thunder Rosa, you know, when you wrestle with talent better than you, you get better.
You get better, yeah.
Oh yeah.
And so that's where Nikki's at, is she needs to get in the ring with talent better than her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she'll get better.
Actually, my dream match is against her.
After a while, Nikki versus Mike doesn't sell any more tickets, so you gotta like.
I think your wife will give you her pointers. This is what you need to do, mija. I know.
Yeah. Si le vas a pegar, pégale aquí, dale aquí, dale. Madréalo, que yo lo veo. ¿Para qué no regresa? Oh, my God.
First of all, guys, I want to say thank you for coming out on the podcast. Man, I appreciate you guys so much. To you come into the studio with so much baggage, man. I mean, I can pick your brain for hours and hours.
Yeah, like 4 hours.
Yes. I mean, just to hear all these matches you were in, I know I want to plan you to come back again so we can really.
I was gonna say, there's plenty more.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I believe
it. Didn't even say not even.
Maybe, it was just not even the tip of the iceberg. Tip of the iceberg, man. And I mean, I want to say thank you for taking the time to coming down from San Antonio to here to Westlake, Texas, to be on our podcast, man. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. All my fans that are here, all the guys that are viewing, which all of them are here, are really yelling out here that they really want to see Nikki versus Armando, and they're saying, "Peanut Head, please shut up."
Who the hell?
He says, "Mark, I told you, bro, time would fly." Yes, I know. I knew that, Casito. Time will fly, especially with two great people in the podcast. Yeah, the co-host is all right, but the book.
Oh, actually, it would be me too, man.
No, not even close. But having these two guests on the podcast, it's not only an experience for me, but I hope it builds a bridge between us to whenever you guys do come down, you want to, or you want to send some of your talent this way so they can experience to be on a podcast so they get used to speaking that mic skill display. Right. Exactly. Right. And I appreciate that. I offer the olive branch. Hey, whenever you want to send somebody, send them to me, man. I will make time for them.
I greatly appreciate the opportunity of putting this on. Like this. I mean, this is usually we do podcasts with a little laptop and whatever, mm-hmm. or a phone, you know.
Yeah. It's nice being in person.
Yeah. Yes. It's a different experience because when he walked in, he's like, dude, I want to do a podcast, but this is too much. And then one guy controls everything, bro.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ed Mark, thank you so much for having me.
As soon as I mentioned your name,
I'm locking
the door. And see your wife with her, please do lock the door.
When I told her that they were coming, they were loud. I said, "Oh, am I going with you?"
Yes, it's a must. It's a must.
So, like I was telling you earlier, there was a night where I was, you know, everything was just like, and I was just sitting there, just scrolling through my phone and drinking my little Fireball.
Story.
And then these two pop up on the front porch. I don't know, they're dancing to rap or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Cumbias.
Well, yeah, and I was just like, that's life, man.
Yeah, it is.
Just, you know, like we did WrestleCade last weekend. We're doing this today. And we're in Odessa tomorrow. Doing something else probably Saturday. And Sunday is our day off. And then Monday back to, she goes to work, I have to do training. And then back to, you know, like a process.
Right.
Back to grind.
Yeah. Do that just.
I wish I could. Kid, yeah. Well, I don't know how to dance. But I wish I could just like sit back and just. Let's go dance. Yeah. But I know if we do something, we got to have her with us.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like,
hey.
Fine too, but it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Just relax.
Just a reminder, guys, heads up, and I know Jacinto's tossing me this right now. As a reminder, Nikki will be on the podcast on the 18th of this month of December. So, yes,
she I'll make it. She will not be on the podcast.
She can do a podcast, but she can't go to training.
Oh, okay. Shots fired. Here we go.
Hey, you're going to invite me for that one, right?
No, I'm not inviting you for that one. No, I'm not. One. And Chris just said, Mondo ruined the podcast. Just kidding.
We'll see you tomorrow, Chris.
But anyways, like I said, once again, guys, thank you so much for coming out. Thank you for taking the time and coming to the little podcast show that we put together next year. Like I told Mandito here that we are strictly going 3 weeks of nonstop wrestling interviews. And then the last week we'll have a local artist come in and take on spot. So we're going to try to push as much as we can the wrestling scene out here because it is blossoming super fast. And I like the fact that the communities are getting more involved. Yeah. So that's something I want to dip my toes in and have fun, have at it, man. So thank you so much once again, Rudy, Michael, thank you very much for being on the podcast. I appreciate you guys. Just in case, guys, let me put this back over here, put these guys in the main picture. If you want to follow Rudy here, I got his QR code right here. Click on that little QR code. Takes it straight. Look at that, man. It's a matching pair right there. No, at la boca, bro. There you go. Click on that QR code. Takes it straight to Rudy's page right there, TWA. Find out what's going on in their neck of the woods. And don't forget, there's Micah Madrid right here. Everything that's going on in her world, click on that QR code and message her. Find out what's going on and say, hey, what's going on? I'm pretty sure she'll respond back. Ladies and gentlemen. That is our podcast for tonight. What a wonderful, great, long podcast. Thanks to the peanut next to me. It's just you, buddy. Every single time you come, we go 1 hour. It's always an hour and 30 minutes, hour and 40. And you're making me talk, and we're getting close to 2 hours. Shit. Anyways, pardon my language. But anyways, guys, once again, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Everybody who's watching in attendance, thank you. Don't forget to share, follow, subscribe. Guys, I appreciate every single one of you guys. I got gifts. I forgot. I got gifts for you guys. Right there on that table, we got two caps for you right there. Right there. Those are your guys' caps right there. And that little cylinder that's right there, Rudy, that's for you to put up in your office or in your gym.
That one right there.
And that black bag right there. Go ahead and stick your hand in there, both of you, and grab one little item inside there. One little item. Not that kind of item. But don't look in there. Just stick your hand in there and get it. Get your hand in there. Reach in there. Ooh. That one's for you. And get one more for yourself. There you go. That's it. Just one. Just one. That's right. No, you can't have none. You can. And a Merry Christmas to you guys, man. I appreciate you guys coming down.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the podcast for tonight. We'll see you next week, Tuesday. Only reason I'm doing it on Tuesday because Thursday is my anniversary, 26 years with the wife, man.
So, yeah.
No sé cómo me aguantan, pero me quieran. But next week, we have a cotton candy factory coming in. So I know Chu's going to be riding that seat. He's going to dose himself up as much as he can for the diabetes he's got. So, oh, God.
Ya cállate.
Te están hablando a ti, a mí no, güey. Lesnar, thank you so much. We will see you next week, 7:30 Tuesday. Don't forget to tune in and share. Thanks. Peace out, ladies and gentlemen.